Marriage. Marriage is what brings us here today. And any of you who have not seen The Princess Bride have no idea what I'm talking about. But you've all heard the old joke about what is the leading cause of divorce in America? Marriage. However, I would like to talk about some things that perhaps, if they are not actually the cause of divorce, at least cause major stress on a relationship. Now, some of you may think that this doesn't apply to you. You know, marriage is a long way in the future. After all, my father won't let me date until I'm 30. Or perhaps you're thinking, girls are icky. But most of us, at some point or another in our lives, are probably going to end up married. So what are some of the things that can cause issues? Many people will say, communication. This is true. Let me explain to you now, especially if you are young. Men and women use the same words. They do not speak the same language. If I may borrow from Jeff Foxworthy, if a man is in the bathroom and he yells out to you, "We're out of toilet paper," he is sharing information. If you need to go to the restroom, perhaps you should bring something with you, like a magazine, because you may have a problem. If a woman is in the bathroom and she shouts out to you that we are out of toilet paper, you need to go get some toilet paper. She is telling you to do something, not to just be forewarned. Now, guys, you need to pay attention here. You may not believe this. Women do not like asking you to do things. They want you to figure these things out on your own. They talk in hints. Guys, we usually say what we mean and only what we mean. Women say what they meant to say, and it is your job to figure out what that was. But communication, to me, is usually just a symptom of another problem. What else can cause stress? Money. Now, money is a problem for everyone, because unless you manage to find yourself a piece of property, for instance, an Indian reservation that doesn't come with property taxes, and you find yourself a spouse who doesn't mind sewing things with a bone needle and catgut, and who is willing to plant their own vegetable garden and slaughter their own cattle, you are going to have to come up with money. But money is really a rather minor convenience. Everybody has to deal with it, whether they're married or not. So while it may become a source of stress, it is, again, not the main problem. Another thing that obviously becomes a problem in a marriage, infidelity. Now, obviously, infidelity would be a major problem in your marriage. But to me, infidelity always has a start somewhere else. And the start of where that has come is something that I want to speak of today. Because I think the real problem that everybody has, and this is something that is going to apply to all of us, but specifically I'm going to talk about it today about how it applies to marriage, is a short mouse range. No, that is not it. It is priorities. Most of the problems, and I will say this right now, most of the problems I have ever had in my marriage is when my priorities aren't right. So you go to get married, you find yourself a nice young lady or a nice young man, and one of the first things that a lot of times become an issue is, I know some of you are going to think I'm going to say family, but let's get there later, friends. Friends are always an issue. Let me explain something to you right now. When you get married, you no longer have his friends and her friends. They are either going to become our friends, or they are not going to be friends. Now, friends are important. After all, the Bible says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Granted, I have friends, and I even have people that I barely know, that if it came down to a matter of life or death, I would be willing to give my life for. However, and this is especially true for those of you who have children, if you have an opportunity to go on a date night with your spouse, and you can't go because, well, we play basketball on Thursdays with the guys, or Desperate Housewives, or whatever the latest guilty pleasure is, the girls get together and watch that, if that becomes more important, spending time with your friends, than spending time with your spouse, that is going to be an issue. That's going to be an issue whether you're a guy or a girl. When the friends come higher than the spouse, it's a problem.
Well, what else can we look at that can be a priority?
Parents. Most of us have parents. At some point or another, we had parents. And I really want to bring this to you now, especially those of you who aren't married yet. Those of you who are married, some of you probably already dealt with this. When you are looking for a spouse, and let's say it's later in life, you're in your 30s, if they're still living at home with their parents, this is a warning sign. I'm just saying. Daddy's girl, mommy's boy, this is cute when they're in their single digits. If they're in their teens, it can still be my bit of an awe moment. If they are in their 20s, this is not going to change. Now, parents, obviously, should be very important in all of our lives. Bible says in Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. We owe a very large debt to our parents. We owe a very large amount of respect to our parents. However, and I will get to this in a moment, when we get married, as it was read earlier, we leave our parents. Yes, children, don't get me wrong, there are times, you know, when you come up and you have a question, and it's okay to go to mom and dad. You know, this is what's happening, for instance, with the children. I can't get the baby to sleep. What can I do? You can go. Your parents are not stupid. When you get married, unlike when you become a teenager, they do not go stupid overnight. They actually know what they're talking about. But they do not come before your spouse. Because when you get married, you're making a choice. Your parents, you got whoever you're stuck with, sorry, I'm it, you know, life goes on. But hopefully, when you get to spouse, this is not some third world country. You choose who you marry today. And you are making a promise and you are making a commitment to that person. And mom and dad may be hard for us sometimes, but we're going to take a back seat. That's all there is to it. You know, if you have a problem with your wife or your husband, don't take it to your parents. You know, it's yours. You made a decision. You need to work on it. Children. Now, this one's going to be tough. Especially those of you, and I'm not going to pick on anybody in particular, we all have children in here of different ages. When they're young, yes, I understand. An infant needs a lot of work, needs a lot of attention. You know, they can't do anything for themselves. But by the time your child can put together a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on their own, and you know, you don't have to worry about the house burning down, children need to start taking a back seat. Because I see this in a lot of marriages. I see a lot of people who say, okay, you know, we put everything aside for our children. Our children come first. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't sit there and say, well, we'll work on our marriage once the children are come and gone. Because the people who do that with their marriages, what they're really doing is saying, we're going to stay together until our children have come and gone. Because if you've gone 18 years of your life with this person that you made a commitment to, and you put them on the back burner the entire time, in year 19, it's not just going to switch. The best thing my mother ever did for me when it came to my marriage relationship is when I was late teens, she looked at me and said,
And I've got two brothers, so this will probably help understand too. I love you boys. But if it comes down to a question between you and your father, he wins. I made a commitment to him. We seem to forget something very special about marriage that doesn't apply to any of our other relationships, and I'll get to that in a minute. And I want to make a point here, Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Not everybody has children, but if you have children, your job is to nurture them. Why are you nurturing them? You're nurturing them because at some point they need to stand on their own. Your children are going to grow up. Your children are going to move out. Your children are going to live their own lives. Your spouse should still be there. Your children, 30 years down the road, should not. I know, it's not nice to say, it's probably not politically correct. I love you all, but much like my parents, as soon as you move out, there's no longer a room safe for you. I've got a rec room now. You know, mom's finally getting that sewing room she's been waiting for. That's all I'm saying. Now I want to skip one, because this one obviously applies to everybody in here. You know, obviously your friends aren't going to be as high as God. Some of us, you know, your parents pass on, your parents are no longer in the picture. You may not get married. You may not have children. And yes, there's going to be a special place in your life for your spouse. But God, Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You may very well get to spend your entire life here on this planet with a person you love. But when it's all over, every single one of us, married or not, children or not, family or not, are going to stand in front of God on our own. You don't get to hold the hand of your spouse and stand there and have somebody supporting you when this happens. You're going to give an account of your life, how you lived it. So therefore, God comes first, no matter what. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean that I'm telling you that your spouse comes second? Actually, no, I'm not. What I am telling you is that the second biggest priority in a married person's life is the married couple. There are way too many of us that go into marriage with this idea of, I'm going to put her on a pedestal, or I'm going to put him on a pedestal. Or even worse, he better put me on a pedestal. She better make sure that I'm number one in her life. No. The Bible says, and we read it earlier, or I should say Justin read it earlier, that I left a space there. No, that's not it. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Especially here in America, we've got this idea that once we get married, I'm still me, she's still her. You know, you don't get assimilated. Don't get me wrong. It takes a long time to become what's truly considered a married couple. But that is how you need to approach marriage. It's not me. It's not what do I want and what does she want. It's what do we want. It's not what's best for her or best for him. It's what's best for us. Let's look at that word for a second, cleave. This is from Webster. Cleave, to adhere closely, stick, or cling, to remain faithful. See, you get these priorities in the right order, infidelity is not a problem. If you're cleaving unto your spouse, you have to remain faithful. That's the definition of the word. Everybody's got to deal with money. But if your marriage is rock solid enough, it's not going to affect it. Everybody's got to deal with the fact that men and women don't speak the same language. But if you got your priorities right, and your marriage is the second most important thing in your world, you're going to do what it takes. You're going to listen to what's being said. You're going to learn that person to the point that, okay, this is what they said, But this is what they meant. And I know all you married people know what I'm talking about. First Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's way too big to fit on the slide. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And I bring this up because I see so many people in today's day and age that really mess up what these scripture means. And I'm going to go through this piece by piece, so pardon me if I stop in the middle to say something. In like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Wait! Subjection? I can't do that. Don't you remember now? Suffrage? We got the vote! I'll get back to that in a second. Even if any obey not the word, that they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives, beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear. Now, some of your versions, I always read American Standard. I don't like to jump back and forth to cherry pick the version that I want of a particular verse. So I'll get to the definition of fear in a minute. Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of braiding the hair and of wearing jewels of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner aforetime the holy women also, who hoped in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children ye now are if ye do well, and are not put in fear by any terror. Ye husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. We get this wrong so many times. And I hear people, and they read this verse, and I don't know how many... we just had the big wedding over there in England. And one of the first things you notice in that thing is they threw out the whole thing about to honor, love, and obey. We can't obey anymore. Let me let you in on a little secret, guys. If you are the husband that you are supposed to be, your wife will not have a problem with the word obey. Woman, if you're the wife that your husband, or needs, and the wife that you're supposed to be, your husband will not have any problem with the word obey. Now let's look at that weaker vessel for a second. God is not saying, women, that you're weak. God is not saying that you're somehow frail. Although my wife tries to use that phrase every time she needs to open a pickle jar. I'm weak and frail here. It says, the weaker vessel. What they're referring to, and you have to go back to when it says the weaker vessel, that's like fine china. You know, you bring out the Fiesta ware for the family because you've got kids, you know they're going to drop it. You know, the earthenware might survive. The fine china is going to crash. Guys, this is how you're supposed to treat your wife. She's fine china. She's special. She's something that you're proud of, something valuable to you, something that you can't just go out to the store and replace. You know, we got this idea, and it's one of the biggest problems I have with the law in the United States, this idea of a no-fault divorce. If you're getting divorced, somebody's at fault. That's all there is to it. She probably thinks it's you. But this is how it goes. You know, this no-fault idea is just, it doesn't work. If your husband is treating you like fine china, something that he can't, you know, get rid of tomorrow and just go out and replace, you know, there's no problem with that obey because you know that when he makes a decision, he's making the decision about us. He's not making the decision about him, and hopefully he's not making the decision about you. Because when you have these relationships where one or the other, the spouse is on one side or the other, and it's not together, the one who's always putting the other one on the pedestal is eventually going to, I think the word I'm looking for, resent it. He's going to resent it. And if you're the one that's always being put up on the pedestal, eventually you're going to lose some sort of respect for that other person. You've got to be a unit. And as for the whole idea of fear, and actually I think I got this brought up later, so I'll bring it up. Let's see where I am here. Actually, let's go through Genesis for a little bit, because I want to make a point here. And I'm pretty sure all of us are going to agree, everything God does is for a reason. So let's point out, in Genesis 2:7, Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When God made man, he took some dust and made him. In there we go. Genesis 2:19, out of the ground Jehovah God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heaven and brought them unto the man to see what he would call them. When God made everything else, he made it out of dust. How many of you here, I don't need a show of hands, this is a rhetorical question, clean anything? How many of you think God ran out of dust? He didn't run out of dust. And yet, when he gets to woman, he says, Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Jehovah God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, should be called woman because she was taken out of man. When God decided to make a woman for man, she's a part of that. This is my wedding ring. Inscribed on my wedding ring, which most of you have never seen because I shouldn't be taking it off, but that's another subject. She wrote, or I should say she had inscribed, you complete me. That's what you're looking for when you get married. You're not looking for somebody to take care of you. You're not looking for somebody to have fun with. You're looking for the person who completes you. And I want to focus on Genesis 2:18 for a second, because this is another phrase I think that sometimes gets messed up. Jehovah God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. I know we get this messed up sometimes. I know especially as guys, we take women for granted sometimes. God did not create you women to take care of us, believe it or not. He created you to walk with us. Help meet, this is how it was from the beginning, was not a subordinate clause. You weren't there just to help us up. You were there to walk with us. It said that they could not, woman was made because he couldn't find a suitable helper to go with him. That's why when you get married, it's not supposed to be a rank. It's not supposed to be, this is my spouse. When my wife and I got married, we're not Edward and Tressa. We're now the Myers. You know? That's what it's supposed to be. And we don't always get it right. And like I said, almost every single time that I have a problem in my marriage is because one of my priorities is messed up. And that works both ways. Now, obviously, I've left out a lot of stuff. A lot of things that can be priorities in your life, your job, you know, money. I've tried to set them aside because I'm really talking about relationships. But those of you who are not married yet, not only do you need to get your priorities right, you also need to make sure that the person you're looking for, the person you wanted to marry, has the same priorities. And this is one of the most important things I want to do. This is going to be an audience participation thing because I want to make a point. Nobody needs to say a word. I want a show of hands. And guys and girls, listen very carefully because you're going to be answering two different questions. For right now, in this hypothetical, you're all single. I don't care who you sit next to. Just for a moment, don't get mad at him. He's just single until this question is over. You have a choice to make. And no, son, one of those choices is not to not be married ever at all. You have to marry someone.
And you've got a choice to make, because for whatever reason, there is not a single person on this planet who both respects and loves you. You can have a spouse that loves you with all their heart, but doesn't really respect you. You can have a spouse that respects you, but doesn't really love you. You've got to choose. I want you to think about this. Now, women, when I say go, and this is going to be at the same time, so nobody gets to see what the other person answers. When I say go, women, if you want the guy who respects you but doesn't love you, I want you to raise your hand. If you want the guy who loves you with all of his heart but doesn't respect you, keep it down. And yes, I know, two lousy choices, but you got to choose. Guys, I want you to go the other way. If you want a woman that's going to respect you, even if she doesn't love you, keep your hand down. But if you really want to be loved and you don't care if she doesn't respect you, then go ahead and raise it. 3, 2, 1, go. Now look around. There was no right answer to that. But I want you to pay close attention. Most of the guys didn't raise their hand. Almost all the women didn't raise their hand. Why is that? God knows why it is. Even so, ought husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies? He that loveth his own wife loveth himself. Guys, and this pans out across, I've seen this actually done before, this pans out across the country. Most of the time, your wife wants to be loved. Respect is a secondary consideration. Now, obviously, you should both respect and love your wife. But when all else fails, if she does not feel loved, you got a problem. Doesn't matter if you love her. In fact, my wife, one of her favorite sayings is, don't tell me you love me, show me. That is a trick. You still have to tell me you love them. But the important part is it doesn't matter if you love her or not in and of itself. It doesn't matter how often you say it or don't say it. I see these guys sometimes say, oh, she knows. No, you still have to say it. But the important thing in your relationship is she has to feel it. Your wife has to feel that you love her. You can't love her in secret. It doesn't work. And women, pay very close attention to this. Nevertheless, do ye also severally love each one his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see that she fear her husband. Now, I told you I'd get back to this word because of the fact that we don't always use it in English the way it was originally meant. Fear, I looked it up, and I'm actually going to make a shortcut here. Fear is often described as reverence, and reverence means to show respect. Fear equals respect. Women, respect your husbands. Your husband wants to be loved, but if you do not respect him, you're going to have problems. God knows how it works. You know, God knows that we have, at least in this simple section here, different priorities. Ladies, I don't care how much you love a man, if you do not respect him, don't marry him. Because you're putting a burden on your marriage that's going to be hard to get past. And men, I don't care how good of a woman you think she is, if you do not feel that you can love her, don't marry her. You're doing her a disservice. So, guys, love your woman. Women, respect your man. And most importantly, get the priorities right. Yes, God comes first. Your spouse doesn't come second. You guys, as a married couple, come second. Children, friends, family, even, you know, people here in this place, except for when it comes to what God has told you to do, as people, you don't come above your spouse. When you leave here today, or if you move somewhere else, you're taking your spouse with you. You're not taking us with you. We would solve so many divorces, and we would solve so many problems in the United States of America if we have our priorities. And you know, we sit there, and like I said, we look at certain words in the Bible, and it's like, oh, we can't use the word obey. Oh, we can't use the word subjection. Oh, we can't use the word, like, you know, a fine vessel or a weaker vessel. Because we don't define it right. Just like fear, we don't define it right. That doesn't mean be afraid of your husband. That means respect him. Now, obviously, many of you are already married. My question is, do you already have your priorities right? Some of you, someday, whether you believe it or not, will get married. Make sure that not only are your priorities right, but the priority of the person that you are making a commitment to spend the rest of your life with are right. See, marriage is the only human relationship that you're going to have on this planet where God says, till death do us part. Okay, well, maybe he didn't use that exact phrase. But, you know, it's the one where you cleave, you become one flesh. You don't have that relationship with your children. You're not one person. You don't have that relationship with your parents. You're not one person. You don't have that relationship with your friends. You're not one person. Some of you may be thinking that, you know, until death do us apart is a goal. That's not the way you should be looking at it. Until death do us part is a commitment. We too often today get married thinking, well, if it doesn't work, I'll just sort it out and start again. God says, no. You can't start it out. Look at it. He says, cleave and become one flesh. Think about that for a second. Think about who your spouse is supposed to be. My ring says you complete me. We get married, we became one person. Now imagine taking a part of your body and just saying, well, you know, I don't really like the way my left arm's been doing things. I'm going to rip it out and put on another. It doesn't work. It's painful. But you know, that's how we treat marriage sometimes. All right. Well, I've probably gone on and on for a little while now. But, you know, even those of you who aren't married, look at this for a second. You know, okay, possibly throw out the children, not literally, you know what I mean. You know, throw out the spouse for a second. Do you still have your priorities right when you get rid of those? Is God still your top priority in this life? If you can get your priorities right, almost everything else in your life will fall into place. Pretty sure that's all I had. Yes, that's all I had. Hey, look at the time. All right. So, if you don't feel, ladies and gentlemen, that your priorities are where they need to be, and you want to ask the prayers of the congregation, this would be a great time to do it. If you have not yet made God a priority in your life, and you think this would be a good time to be baptized and join in the congregation, please do so as we stand and sing the song of the Lord.